This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere is live in studio, the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. He's online at ricksincere.com. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
I'm doing well, Coy. Thanks.
So is This Is Spinal Tap one of your favorite movies of all time?
I certainly do enjoy it.
I need to rent it. I haven't seen it in a while, but that is a good one. It's a very good one. So but let me ask you, before we get into some of the things you want to talk about, the county recently announced that it was delaying implementation of what it calls Photo Safe, which I love. It's like the Clean Water Act.
It's very Orwellian.
Or Save Our Forests Act. You know, that it is Orwellian, indeed, and that's a good way to put it. So it won't launch this coming Monday. They have delayed it. But you and I haven't really talked about that. I mean, I guess, you know, folks who listen to this show know how I feel about them. I'm no fan.
Yeah, I've certainly been listening with interest to some of the discussions you've been having on this issue. I'm glad it's not happening in the city of Charlottesville, but certainly I drive a lot in Albemarle County. As I was just saying to you off the air, I feel ambivalent about this in the same way I feel ambivalent about private prisons. On the one hand, you know, I think privatizing or outsourcing any sort of government function is generally a good idea. But when you create something like private prisons, you provide an incentive for the government to create more crimes because you've got people lobbying for the prison companies to say, we need to fill these beds and we want more money by having big prisons. And the same thing when you've got private companies running these red light cameras. Or I read recently about somewhere in the D.C. area where they now have stop sign cameras in intersections that just have four-way stops. And they are taking pictures of people who just go a little bit over the stop line on the street before they make a right turn. And that's really scary in a very Orwellian sense. I mean, yeah. We've got cameras looking at us everywhere. And there's no more privacy in public space.
Now see, and you and I totally aren't on the same page. Well, we are on the same page when it comes to trying to find ways to outsource some of the work that the government does and let the private sector handle it. We agree on that. I draw the line, though, when it comes to law enforcement. I have a hard time saying that I want to outsource the enforcement of the laws of a community to a private company. That's where I get nervous, especially in this case where we're outsourcing it to a company in Australia.
And well, you know? That doesn't bother me so much as that we're actually outsourcing it to a robot. It's not even real human eyes. It's an automatic system. And I think that somebody could make a really good challenge to this on the Confrontation Clause of the, I think it's the Fifth Amendment of the Bill of Rights, which says that you have an absolute right, if you're brought up on charges, to confront your accuser. If your accuser is a remote camera, how can that camera testify in court?
Yeah, well put. Who is the accuser here? Mm-hmm. I mean, is it the camera? Is it the Australian in Sydney who is looking at these pictures and this video who then sends them to Albemarle County? Is it the Albemarle County Police Department? Is it the Board of Supervisors? It's a great question.
One of your guests the other day made a very good point that if you get one of these tickets in the mail, you can ignore it because unless a summons is brought to you by a police officer or a sheriff's deputy, it's not officially presented to you.
Yeah.
In a lot of
jurisdictions around the country, some of these so-called tickets are mailed to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Albemarle County had said that they were going to have a police officer deliver them. Well, that to me sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah, it could
and
be.
I'd rather have the police officers, they're going to work a full-time job delivering these tickets. I'd rather have them standing at the intersection not have the cameras.
I would much rather have a dummy police car with a fake officer sitting in the passenger seat with a hairdryer pointed at the street so that people think it's a speed trap and then they'll slow down.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And would encourage everybody to get a copy of this week's Hook. Dave McNair is the author of the cover story, which looks very closely at this issue. And one of the things that Dave turned up is, despite the fact that the county has gone on and on about how this is all about safety, and I've pointed out here, and other folks have pointed out that, you know, a large majority of the studies around the country and in Canada show that this actually makes intersections less safe. But Dave, you know, and I've contended that this is about money. Dave dug up the fact that according to the minutes of April 8th, 2009 Board of Supervisors budget meeting, They openly discussed the fact that this new camera would be a new revenue stream. And Supervisor Dennis Rooker even brought up the fact that he'd been reading articles that they could make some money using these cameras. So clearly, the fact that you can make money off of these cameras has gone into the thinking of actually launching something like this for the first time in our community.
Yeah, it's a perverse incentive. I think this may qualify under the economic category of moral hazard. You're creating a situation in which you are encouraging people to do the wrong thing, even for if it's for what seem to be the right reasons.
Yeah, because the county then becomes dependent on the money they make off an unsafe intersection, which they make more unsafe with the camera, studies show. So they don't have a vested interest then in making the intersection truly safe, because they come dependent on the money that comes out of the unsafe intersection.
It's a lot like on-street parking in D.C., where they have confusing signs all over the place so that no matter where you park, you're bound to get a parking ticket. You know, it'll say something like no parking between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m., and then it'll say no parking between 5 p.m. and 11 p.m. And where am I allowed to park?
You know? Yeah. We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Mark is with us on Charlottesville right now. Mark, thank you for the call. Go right ahead.
Hey, this is thank you for having me on. And these kind of laws, these are something, and it's not really a law. This is a scam against the public. This is just a way that for them to pick your pocket. And if my understanding is right, this isn't a real traffic ticket. It doesn't go on your record. It's just a scheme cracked up to take advantage of the people. And they're able to do it because there's not that many people that go through that intersection compared to the total population. So most of the people aren't going to come up on in arms. They should have this on every stoplight and then see instead of just one, and that's how they get away with it. But these whole things, and you know, they've timed these so that and you mentioned D.C. In D.C., they catch people in municipalities of setting these things so they have a short caution signal. But to me, it's a terrible thing. And eventually, because it's not a civil thing, that way they can get away with it. It's not really a ticket. But eventually, if you don't pay it, they will come and get you. And it's basically, it's collecting a tax at the point of a gun.
Yeah, Mark, thank you for the call. Very well put. And I couldn't agree with you more. And that was actually when Congress studied this issue, Rick, back in 2001. Dick Armey's office, then the House Majority Leader at the time, the House Dick Armey's office put forth a really fantastic report that you can find online, where he really came out very strongly against these things, said this is Big Brother, this is big government, this is a secret tax, we all want safe intersections. And he concluded that the way to do it was to lengthen the yellow light. And yeah, this is, and all the studies, and this is the little secret that engineers, traffic engineers, and VDOT, they know this.
Right.
But they're keeping quiet about it because, you know, you have folks like the Board of Supervisors and the staff on the county and the police department that, hey, they see dollar signs in their eyes. And they say, hey, let's not really try to make this safe. We know what would make this intersection really safe, and that is to increase the yellow light times. Even if you increase them by 30%, I mean, you could just increase them just a little bit, and the number of accidents will plummet. The number of folks running red lights will plummet. But there's no money in that.
Right. There's no money. I'm not surprised that a report like that came out of Dick Armey's office, because he's a real pro-liberty Republican. He would have voted against the war in Iraq if he hadn't been lied to by Dick Cheney. But that's another issue for another day.
Let's go to Eric. He's waiting very patiently. Eric, thank you for the call, buddy. You go right ahead.
Oh, great to have an opportunity to talk to you and our listeners. Just wanted to comment on why are we making this? First of all, I think it's an audacity that one of our county representatives will sit at a board meeting and talk about how we can use something to target our community as a revenue source. I mean, that is troubling to me to hear that we have these kinds of people in office serving us, elected by us, and that's something we need to revisit when election time comes up. The other thing is, I mean, shouldn't we be making research-based decisions if overwhelmingly the studies on these types of systems show that it really increases danger at these intersections? then why are we going ahead and making those kind of decisions?
It's terrific. Yeah, you go right ahead, Eric.
I mean, so we do it in our school systems. We look and we make decisions based on research and data. It's just sad that these types of things are made, you know, politically for revenue streams. Just one question I had. I mean, if we're thinking about reducing costs in police departments and in local government and things like that, and why are we increasing revenue? Why are we thinking about reducing costs? I mean, what would it cost the county, or how much money would the county save? And I'm not an advocate for taking things away from police and officers. How much money could we save if officers didn't drive their cars home? That's something we need to look at, maybe.
Yeah, Eric, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, and they're very good points. And Rick, we had some new folks elected to the County Board of Supervisors, and they were largely elected on a theme of zero-based budgeting. The implication being, well, we're going to get in there and cut like crazy. Yeah, and that's what we advocate for. We want to cut, and yet what we're seeing is this sort of end run, and they're sort of sneaking in a new way of making money.
Yeah, I agree with it. Eric said that we should be making public safety decisions on the basis of public safety, not revenue, for the same reason that we should make revenue decisions. Taxation should only be used to raise revenue for legitimate public programs. It shouldn't be used for social engineering purposes to nudge people to make decisions that the government wants them to make. The purpose of taxation is to raise revenue for legitimate government programs and nothing more.
Yeah. And we're talking with Rick Sincere. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Albemarle County has delayed the launch of its very cutely and tongue-in-cheek named PhotoSafe program, the red light camera at 29 and Rio Road. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. 977-1070. Rick Sincere is live in studio. He's a former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. The company, Rick, that the county is working with is called Redflex. They're based out of Sydney, Australia. They get up to $10,000 of these fines every month. So, in essence, our local government has authorized a private company from Sydney, Australia, to hang a camera on our street and take up to $120,000 a year out of our pockets to Australia. It baffles me.
At what point does the county start getting money?
After $10,000 a month. So clearly, and at $50 a fine, that's about $200 a week, about $50 a day, clearly the county is going to sit back, and you can't deny they're going to sit back and hope that it's not safe, that it's not safer, but they're going to hope that there's more than 50 running red lights a week. And the little dirty secret is, we talked with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times, who's been researching these things for over a decade. The dirty little secret is that the guy sitting in Sydney, Australia, looking at the pictures in the video, they will throw absolutely everything at the wall and hope that something sticks. Mm-hmm. So people turning right on red might get a ticket in the mail or one delivered to their house. Somebody who stops well before a red light but happens to stop over that line, which at Rio Road, I've gone out there and looked, those lines are way back from the intersection. You might just stop a little bit ahead of that line well before the red light, but you might stop ahead of the stop line, and you will still get a quote-unquote ticket.
That $10,000 floor really provides an incentive for the county to start instructing its traffic engineers to tweak the intersections so as to increase the number of quote-unquote violations. It really is a perverse incentive.
Let's go back to the phones. Robert is with us. Robert, thank you for the call. You're on Charlottesville right now. You go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I drive for a living, and I have noticed, now this could be just me, but since about the beginning of the year, I guess, you're talking about revenue generation. I'm convinced that there are more, I drive around Virginia, I'm convinced there are more speed traps out there now than there have ever been, and I am personally am not getting ticketed. I'm just an observer, and one thing about it is that I'm convinced if this could be purely anecdotal. I don't know if anyone, but I'm convinced of this that there are more
police, there's more revenue generation going on through, motorists breaking the law. And my position on this is that if this is true, and if police officers have the time to do this, then we need to cut police officers. Because this is not, in my mind, they say, making the roads safer and all this stuff. Well, it does to some extent, but if you're trying to, eventually what happens is that then no one's speeding, and then what are they going to tax you on?
Good point. Robert, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We got to move on. I appreciate it. It's excellent points. And before we go to the next caller, I just want to say, lest anyone think that my opposition to these red light cameras is somehow an endorsement of an unsafe intersection, it's just the opposite. The red light cameras make the intersections less safe. The studies show that. And we know that. And so it's moving us in the opposite direction of where I think we should be going. And excuse me. I think that we do need to fix that intersection at Rio and 29, and the way to do it is to increase the yellow light time, and I would even want to put it in a traffic circle because I like traffic circles. I hate stoplights. I think it's antiquated technology for how to move traffic through a community, and that traffic circles are actually much safer for drivers and much safer for pedestrians.
Well, there's a lot of experimentation going on in Europe right now with traffic intersections that have no controls at all, no stoplights, no stop signs, no walk, don't walk signs, no, and the pedestrians, bicyclists, and cars and buses, they all share the road, and they're safer, according to the studies I've seen, they are safer than controlled intersections that we've got in this country.
Because people are more cautious, yeah.
It's counterintuitive, but it seems to work. There's a great video on YouTube that came out last week of an intersection somewhere in the Netherlands, and it shows the difference between the way it was before when it was a controlled intersection and the way it is now.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of tell that it's safer by looking at
Amazing.
It.
Amazing. Let's go to Chris is with us. Chris, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Thanks a lot, Coy. I really enjoy your show, and I think you do a good job with it, but I'm very frustrated by this assertion that you keep making that papers have shown that these things make intersections less safe, and that's just not true. I asked you when you spoke about this several weeks ago, the Rutherford Institute supposedly put out a paper. Well, that paper is still not seeing the light of day. There happened to be, just coincidentally, a paper that came out in the last couple of days that looked at papers internationally from many, many countries, lots of different techniques for doing these, and they all found that this makes intersections safer. I think you really need to have.
Well, Chris, I can't do your homework for you. I mean, it's out there, and the studies have been done, and they are out there. And I think there's also been studies that shown that the studies that show it safer oftentimes come from insurance companies who have a financial interest in these red light cameras.
Well, I remember writing about this about 4 years ago when the General Assembly was first considering allowing this in Virginia. And I remember specifically finding reports that show that these red light cameras do cause more accidents at the intersections because people are getting rear-ended.
Yeah. And they're out there. And Chris, again, I'm not going to come on the radio and just start listing reports. And you need to do your own due diligence. And we all do. And that's one of the points of this program is let's get educated together. And I got time for one more, and then we can bring this up again in the next hour. John, real quick, you go right ahead.
Yes, I used to work in New York, and when these cameras came out in New York, and a lot of people got tickets that didn't supposed to get them tickets because on camera they get caught in between that crossway of the light. And a lot of times in the morning, they get a lot of tickets, and they even get a lot of tickets on kind of the traffic started backing up.
Yeah, great point. The traffic backs up, and you find yourself stuck in the intersection, you're going to get a ticket. Rick Sincere, he's the chairman of the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. Rick, thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you again next
week. Yeah, I wish I could stick around, but I have to go to a city council work session to talk about reprecincting.
Interesting.
We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get the recap on that and look forward to it. Thank you, Rick, so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.